Good morning. Welcome to Berean Bible Church. First Sunday morning service in Goa. Are you adjusting to life in Goa? Hopefully we'll be looking for a place to meet soon. Not sure where that will be, but I'm sure we will be led by God to find a place. Everybody settled down? One of the greatest verses in the Bible is found in Psalm 18:35. David here is the writer. And as we know, David went down in history as the greatest king of all Israel. The Christ, the Messiah himself, is called the Son of David. In Acts 13:22, it was said of David that he was a man after God's own heart, and he fulfilled all of God's will. Acts 13:22. I mean, there's a man recorded in the Bible that fulfilled all of God's will. That's what's recorded about David. It says that David's heart, the scriptures say in 1 Kings 15:3, that David's heart was perfect. That he had a perfect heart. 1 Kings 15:5, it says that David did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and did not turn aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. I mean, we could list many things this morning that contributed to the success and greatness of this man David. But David himself tells us exactly what made him great. What it was that made him so great. He writes this verse after the Lord delivered him from the hand of Saul. In Psalm 18:35, he writes, "Thou, Lord, has also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thy gentleness hath made me great." When we think of this word gentleness, we think of tenderness, we think of compassion, kindness, consideration, sympathy, mildness of manner. Not rough, but soft. Not bitter, but sweet. Not loud, but quiet. Not harsh, stern, are severe. Gentleness. David says, gentleness. It was gentleness, the gentleness of God that made him great. Gentleness is to handle someone with ease, with care, with thoughtful consideration. Gentleness in the Scriptures is a divine quality, a divine attribute. And it's not spoken so much about by people. But according to David, it was God's gentleness that made him great. David knew the gentleness of God. And we know this for sure because it was reflected in his life. David was a gentle man. He had this incredible balance in his life. He had a balance of strength, of power, of authority. But yet at the same time, he possessed a side of gentleness in his character. Everyone remembers David as the mighty man of valor who killed the giant, who slayed the giant Goliath and took off his head. Everyone remembers David as the one, as a strong shepherd who killed the lion and bear. He was known throughout all of Israel to be a fearless warrior, one who won many, many battles for the nation of Israel. He had a reputation, before he became king, he had a reputation as a commander and fighter under Saul. In 1 Samuel 18:7, it says, "So the women sang as they danced and said, 'Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s.'" This was a common saying at the time of David in Israel. People knew him to be the hero of the day, a mighty man of war. And it was for this reason that God would not let David build the house of God. In 1 Chronicles 28:3, "But God said to me, 'You shall not build a house for my name, because you have been a man of war and have shed blood.'" So although David was this great warrior, a man of war, a man who shed a lot of blood in his day, he was yet gentle. He was gentle. David had a tender side to him. One writer said that gentleness is a strong hand with a soft touch. Gentleness is to carry a big stick and walk softly. Remember, David started out as a shepherd. And you think about David as a shepherd. A shepherd has to care for his sheep. He takes in consideration all the welfare of his sheep. He has to watch over them as all good shepherds do. He fed them. He provided shelter for them. He protected them. All good shepherds are gentle with their flock. Gentle with their flock. David had this perfect balance of strength and power, but yet he was a gentle shepherd. His gentleness was revealed in how he wrote beautiful, inspired poetry. Yes, David, the man of war, the man who shed much blood in his time, was a poet. The tender side of David, the gentle side of David. Not only this, but gentleness was revealed in how he loved music. He loved music. He played the harp. And in 1 Samuel 16:16, he was a very skillful player. Very skillful. Sought out even by the king of Israel to play in his court. So David had this strong, bold, fearless character about him as a leader. But yet he had a gentle, tender nature. He was gentle in how he dealt with people, even those that rebelled against him. His own son, Absalom, rebelled against him. But he says in 2 Samuel 18:5, he commands Joab, and he says, deal gently for my sake with the young man, Absalom. Deal gently. David said it was the gentleness of God. It was the gentleness of God that made him great. J.R. Miller, the Puritan writer, says, "No man is truly great who is not gentle." No man is truly great who is not gentle. If we likewise want to be great men and women of God, then we need to possess the gentleness of Christ. What an example we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Gentleness perfected. A perfect gentleman, Jesus Christ. A perfect gentleman. The word gentleness speaks of being sensitive and considerate in our dealings with others. It means that we treat others with dignity, with respect, rather than harshness and impatience and partiality. Sometimes we forget that Jesus was not only the strong, mighty Savior, but He also was a tender and gentle Savior. The biblical Jesus Christ is not weak. He's not fluffy. He's not timid. But He is gentle. He is gentle. He is tender. He's not a bully. He's never overbearing. Never one time do you see Jesus Christ being overbearing, pushing His way around. He handles us with His care. He has consideration. He was gentle. The Old Testament reveals the Messiah to be a gentle shepherd in Isaiah 40, verse 11. Isaiah writes, He will feed His flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom. What a beautiful picture of gentleness in a shepherd. And gently lead those who are with young. Consideration, gentleness. A beautiful description here this morning by the prophet Isaiah of Jesus Christ and the gentleness of the Messiah. In Isaiah 42, verse 3, we have the writing of how Jesus is described as a gentle servant. It says, A bruised reed He will not break, and a smoking flax He will not quench. And you think of the pictures here. I mean, a bruised reed, if you've ever seen a bruised reed, it can't stand up by itself. And it's just holding on. And it's so easy just to bend it and snap it and throw it away. And when you see a smoking flax, you're thinking of a lamp or a candle that's just about to go out. And just a little more wind and it would go out. And it'd be no more. But it says that Jesus, a bruised reed, He will not break. A smoking flax, He will not quench. A complete picture of the gentleness of Jesus Christ's ministry. And this verse, Isaiah 42:3, is quoted by Matthew and applied to the ministry of Jesus Christ. When Jesus came to the earth in His first coming, He fulfilled an Old Testament prophecy in Zechariah 9:9, which states that He would enter into Jerusalem as a king, but different than any king that's ever been talked about. Because this king would come in and introduce Himself with gentleness. He would be a king of gentleness. In Matthew 21:5, say to the daughter of Zion, see your king comes to you gentle. The king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So Jesus did not enter into Jerusalem blazing a trail, riding a mighty stallion with his sword in the air, shouting a victory shout. No, that was not Jesus. Rather, He chose to enter Jerusalem riding on a young donkey. And the picture, the symbolism is so clear. Riding on a young donkey symbolized gentleness. It symbolized meekness. This is what Jesus Christ was throughout all of His ministry. In fact, He describes Himself this way in Matthew 11:29. Jesus says, take My yoke upon you. Take My yoke upon you. Learn from Me. He's telling us this morning, learn from Him. For I am gentle. For I am gentle. And humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. If we're going to be true disciples of Jesus Christ, by taking, that's what it means to take His yoke upon us and learn from His example, then we need to distinguish ourselves by gentleness. By gentleness. We should be gentle people if we follow Jesus Christ. That should be something that stands out in our character. Some people should notice that we are gentle people. Who are these people? We follow Jesus Christ. Our Lord and Savior is a gentle person. That's why we're gentle. Jesus did not say, learn of Me, for I am intense. Jesus did not say, learn of Me, for I am overbearing. Jesus did not say, learn from Me, because I'm intimidating. He said, learn of Me, for I am gentle. I am gentle. Jesus taught clearly that there would be great blessing and reward for those who behave in this fashion. Speaking to His disciples on the Sermon on the Mount, He said in Matthew 5:5, this is the New American Standard Version, "Blessed are the gentle. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth." They shall inherit the earth. We see the gentleness of Christ demonstrated all through the Gospels. How He handled women throughout His ministry revealed a gentle side of Jesus Christ. The Samaritan woman at the well in John 4. The woman caught in adultery in John chapter 8. How He handled these women. How He handled the woman with the issue of blood who touched the hem of His garment. He handled her with gentleness when everybody else was pushing her away. He treated the outcast like Bartimaeus, Zacchaeus, the lepers, the tax collectors, and Mary Magdalene. He treated them with consideration, with compassion, with gentleness. We see His gentleness with the healing of Malchus, the servant of the high priest, in Luke 22:51, when Peter sliced off his ear in the Garden of Gethsemane. He sliced off Malchus's ear. And what did Jesus do? He healed him. Gentleness. Gentleness. We see the gentleness of Christ and how He used to welcome the children, and they would actually sit in His lap and He would hold them when all of His disciples were saying, "Oh, they're a bunch of nuisance. Get rid of them." And Jesus would take them and put them on His lap. Receive them. We see gentleness in Jesus dealing with Thomas, who doubted the resurrection, who didn't believe that Jesus Christ had been raised from the dead until He actually put His hands in the wounds. And Jesus appeared in gentleness to Thomas. We see gentleness in restoring Peter when Peter denied the Lord three different times and even cursed His name. And Jesus restored him with gentleness. Jesus had this incredible strength at His disposal, but He restrained all of it. He restrained the use of His power by His gentleness. When He was in the Garden of Gethsemane and Peter pulled out the sword, He said that He had 12 legions of angels at His disposal. He could just ask the Father and 72,000 angels would wipe out the entire earth. But it was gentleness. It was the gentle nature that restrained Him. We see the gentleness of Christ and how He commanded us to love our enemies. And how He commanded us to bless those that curse you, to do good to those who hate you, to pray for those who persecute you. All of this is coming out of a gentle heart, a gentle spirit. He told us to be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves in Matthew 10:16. In other words, Jesus commanded us to subdue the natural, harsh nature that we have many times in life with gentleness. When Jesus was about to enter to a village of the Samaritans in Luke chapter 9, they rejected Him. They turned Him away. They did not receive Him. In fact, basically they told Him and the disciples to get lost. Go away from here. And John and James, what were they called, John and James? The sons of thunder. The sons of thunder thought they were under the ministry of Elijah. And they said in Luke 9:54, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just as Elijah did?" And He turned. I mean, the Scriptures make a point that this Jesus took notice of this and He turned. He stopped and He turned and He looked at them and He rebuked them and said, "You do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." And they went to another village. Jesus came not to destroy the lives of people, not to destroy the lives of sinners, but He was gentle. He was compassionate to the sinners. Jesus was so gentle with people, even those that rejected Him. There's not one single thing recorded ever in all the Bible of Jesus Christ ever physically hurting anyone. Never. Never. He was not a brute. He was not a violent man. He never bullied himself and bullied other people around. Paul exhorted Titus in the same way in Titus chapter 3, verse 2. And, you know, Titus had to deal with the Cretans. And they were known to be beasts and pretty rude, rough, not very mannered people. But he said, speak evil of no man in Titus 3:2. He commanded Titus, speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle. Don't go there, Titus, and brawl with the Cretans. Be gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. We learn from Jesus and Paul that we as Christians are to be predominantly gentle people. Gentle people. Gentleness should be ever present in our thoughts and in our actions, just as Jesus Christ and Paul also had it in their behavior. True followers of Jesus Christ are distinguished always by gentleness. Philippians 4:5, Paul writes, let your gentleness be known to all men. I think the King James says, let your moderation. But I like this translation. The New King James says, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. And I like J.R. Miller, what he says about this verse. This does not mean that you are to go about telling everybody how patient, gentle, and meek you are. That would be a troublesome task. And then people might not always believe you. There is a better way of letting others know that you possess these traits. Show your gentleness in your life and conduct, in your daily interaction with men. Be patient under injury, provocation, and annoyance. Be forgiving. Show your gentleness as Christ showed His in your speech, in the returning of love for hate, of kindness for unkindness, of love for rudeness. Such a quality in the life is like sweet perfume. You cannot hide it, and it needs no advertising. It makes itself known if only you have it truly in your life. J.R. Miller. Now the world is going to tell you that gentleness will get you nowhere. And you know what? Maybe they're right. Maybe they're right. Gentleness won't get us anywhere in this life. But it will please God. And in 2 Corinthians 5, 9, that is our aim. That is our goal as disciples of Jesus Christ. We want to please and be acceptable to God. We want to be a faithful and good servant. In Matthew 25, 21. Because gentleness is such a strong character trait in the nature of women, many times men try to avoid this nature of gentleness, thinking that it's only a mark of femininity and being soft. You know, being gentle is gay, they say. You know, don't be too gentle or you're a gay person. So instead, they take on the macho man mentality. You know, the macho man mentality, the shirt's unbuttoned, and the hair is showing on the chest, and they're brute, they're out of control, they're rude, they're rough. It's personified in the Bollywood actors and in the Hollywood actors, the action guys, macho. But we need to understand that gentleness is never spineless. Gentleness is never a spineless refusal to stand for anything. That's not gentleness. We know for sure that David was not a flimsy, timid, weak man. He was not a gay man. Not at all. And I'm sure that if you would approach David and call him that, his gentleness would restrain of putting a javelin through your chest. But gentleness in David, he never lacked any resolve in his life because he had gentleness. He was gentle but yet masculine at the same time. He had convictions but yet He was gentle. So this idea that if I'm gentle, I'll be effeminate is wrong. It's worldly. Jesus was not weak, that's for sure. He was not flimsy. He was not timid. In fact, there was no man more masculine. I'm sure He wasn't like the pictures portray Him, to be this like girly figure with long hair, flowing hair, and this real feminine features of the face and body. It just wasn't Jesus Christ, that's for sure. There was no man more masculine than Jesus Christ Himself, and no man in more control of Himself than Jesus Christ. So understand, Jesus was gentle, but He also, understand this about Jesus Christ, He also had a severe part of His nature. There was a severity in the nature of Jesus Christ. There were times when Jesus had to speak hard sayings. The NIV says hard teaching in John 6:60. So we cannot deny, we can't overlook the part of Jesus Christ's nature in the face of His gentleness. There was times when Jesus Christ was severe. So gentleness never compromises the truth, nor does it minimize the severity of God when needed. Jesus always applied the right balance in every situation. And that is so difficult for us, especially men, to provide that right balance of gentleness, but yet also being stern, being strict. We're either too stern and too strict and lack gentleness, or we're too flowery and too gentle without any sternness or strictness or discipline. We either go both ways. But Jesus struck that perfect balance. One writer said, gentleness describes the person who is so much in control of himself that he is always angry at the right time and never angry at the wrong time. That's gentleness. And by the way, Jesus did get angry at times. In Mark 3:5, it says specifically He got angry. There were times in His ministry that Jesus had to bring a severe, severe rebuke. He rebuked and exposed the Pharisees in their error. He called them hypocrites. He called them blind guides. He called them fools. He called them vipers. On many occasions, He even rebuked His own disciples. He called Peter Satan. It was the humble and gentle Jesus Christ who made a whip and went into the temple and threw over tables and flipped over tables and drove out the money changers. That is definitely one aspect of Jesus Christ's nature. And we need to hold the nature of Jesus Christ in perfect balance. We can fall into great error if we don't balance our view of Jesus Christ. Paul said in Romans 11:22, he says, therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell severity, but you goodness. If you continue in His goodness, otherwise you also will be cut off. So our view of God, our view of Jesus Christ must be a balance between His goodness and His severity. To consider one more than the other or one above the other leaves us with a perverted view of God and a perverted view of Jesus Christ. So I do believe that there is a time where we need to be stern in our discipline, strict in our rules, abrasive sometimes in our conduct. But there is a time and place for that. But here's the question this morning. We also have to show forth tenderness. Tenderness. Do we show forth tenderness, kindness, and gentleness in our dealings and relationships with others? Gentleness is something that we're commanded to put on as the elect in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Paul commands it. He says, and so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So the elect of God, our behavior should be marked by gentleness This is how we give diligence to make our calling and election sure in 2 Peter 1:9. We're to be diligent about being gentle. J.R. Miller says this, "It is essential to all true character." Talking about gentleness here. "Nobody admires ungentleness in either man or woman. When a man is harsh, cold, unfeeling, unkind, and crude and rough in his manner, no one speaks of his fine disposition. When a woman is loud-voiced, dictatorial, petulant." Now, I looked up that word petulant because J.R. Miller's coming from a different era. And I said, man, what the heck is petulant? So I looked up petulant because that's important. We need to define this word. We're talking to the ladies. Petulant. Showing the attitude of people who become angry or annoyed when they don't get what they want. Unreasonably irritable. That's what petulant means. Okay? Petulant. You know what that means. Given to speaking bitter words and doing unkindly things. No person is ever heard saying of her, "What a lovely disposition she has." She may have many excellent qualities and may do much good, but her ungentleness mars the beauty of her character. I think J.R. Miller nails it. Ungentleness, whether in man or woman, is something that that mars our character. It really does. Think this morning about Paul and how he ministered to the churches. You know, we have a tendency sometimes to think of Paul as this stern, rigid, disciplined man. And he was a very disciplined man. But think of how he ministered to the churches. Think of the church at Thessalonica. What an incredible church this church was. They were said to have a work of faith, a labor of love, and a patience of hope. But what was it that made them so great? Let's read it. I think it's found right here. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6, "Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ." So they could have gone there and thrown their authority around and been overbearing, taxing the people with their authority, but they didn't. We were not like that. "But we were gentle among you. We were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us." This church goes down on the record as having great Christians. And I think one of the reasons why this was because how Paul and others ministered to them, gentleness. It was gentleness that made this church great. Gentleness is so important in ministering to people. Gentleness is most commonly and most accurately revealed in the picture of a mother caring for her children. And that's what Paul gives here as a picture of gentleness. That's how he ministered among the churches. And yes, there was a time where he had to bring a rod of rebuke. But let me just say this, it was up to the church. What did you want from Paul? What do you want from Paul? That's what he says in 1 Corinthians 4:21. What do you want? "Shall I come to you with a rod or in love and a spirit of gentleness?" Paul did not want to come. No minister wants to take out the rod of rebuke. No minister wants to discipline people in the church. It's very uncomfortable at times to do that. But Paul, like any good father, had to use the rod at times when times called for it. And there were times when he told churches that they would have to remove a person from their membership because that person was in rebellion and would not stop his sinning. So there's no doubt that Paul warned the churches. But I am absolutely sure this morning that He preferred gentleness. He preferred gentleness as His way of ministering. I think we see that in 2 Corinthians 10:1. Paul writes again to the Corinthian church. He says, "Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you." So Paul's desire was to entreat this church by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. He didn't want to use severity. He didn't want to come and use the rod. He wanted to imitate the gentleness and meekness of Christ when He came to the Corinthians. Barnes says this about this verse: "He desired at all times to imitate and to exhibit the gentle feelings of the Savior. He had no pleasure in severity, and He did not desire to exhibit it." Gentleness is something we need to have in our ministry. Everybody here has a ministry to people, if you're a disciple of Christ. You know, some people, it seems as though they're born gentle. Have you ever? It's kind of like even dogs. You know, there are dogs that have a gentle nature about them. But some people have this inclination of being gentle. But for others like myself, and especially other men probably in this room like myself, we need to learn gentleness. It's something that we need to learn. It's not something that we're naturally prone to have in our nature. But let me just say this. The Bible clearly says that we need to have it. It is the fruit of the Spirit. If we're walking with the Lord and we're in right fellowship with Him, Paul tells us in Galatians 5:22 and 23, he says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness." And notice gentleness is right next to self-control. Right next to self-control. I tell you what, we have to exhibit as men self-control in our lives if we're going to exhibit any measure of gentleness, for the most part, I believe. Gentleness is how we walk worthy of our calling as the elect, if we're called, if we're in the church. Ephesians 4, Paul says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of your calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and what? And gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love." And the picture here is among the church, among each other in the church, the brotherhood. We are to have gentleness toward each other. So gentleness is part of a worthy walk if we're called. So we need gentleness. We need gentleness in our church. We need gentleness in our homes. And we need gentleness with our children. How else are they going to learn to be gentle and not like the world? They need to see it in our voice, in our countenance, in our actions. One writer said this: "Godly love requires a gentle nature, so we cannot hope to teach it to our children unless we demonstrate it ourselves. They will not listen to our instruction if we fail to win their hearts with a gentle disposition." Yes, we can demand their obedience, and we should, but our firmness must be controlled with gentleness. We want our children to avoid the mistakes that we made, but sometimes we expect more perfection from them than they are capable of producing. We end up frustrated, and they end up discouraged. The gentle man passes by dissatisfaction in his children and sees their progress rather than their failures. A positive, gentle approach in raising our children becomes an encouraging and enjoyable bonding between the father and child and mother and child. So there is a time, don't mistake or swing it to the other way. There is a time and place where, as parents, we need to use the rod of correction. But it should be balanced with gentleness. Gentleness. That writer goes on to say, "Children also require gentleness constantly. A gentle voice, kindly manner, soft expression build good relationships with children along with firmness in upholding righteous standards." So, also husbands. I think husbands, I'm coming to the husbands again. Husbands, we need to deal with our wives in gentleness. We can be too extreme sometimes. We can be overbearing. We can be rough at times. You know, Colossians 3:19 in the New Century Version, it says this: husbands, love your wives and be gentle with them. Be gentle with them. I think the King James says, do not be embittered against them. So it's not, in one sense he's saying, if you're not embittered against them, then you're gentle with them. It's a good translation, I think. I like what one writer says about Christians and Christian men specifically. In the Christian man, God carefully blends gentleness with firm masculinity to produce an attractive combination in a man that is striking and admirable. His gentleness must be acquired by subduing his masculine human nature as one would tame a wild colt. Our passionate feelings must be controlled and our harsh temperament restrained. So we get back to it being a matter of self-control, the writer says. So men, we have to practice self-control if we're going to have a temperament of gentleness, especially toward our wives. Amen, men? Amen, good. All right, good. I like how Proverbs 15:1 is translated in some of these translations, these newer translations. It says, a gentle response turns away anger, but a harsh word stirs up wrath. The English Standard Version says, a gentle tongue is a tree of life. Did you hear that? A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Very important in how we communicate to each other, communicate to our wives, communicate to our husbands, communicate to our church members, in our speech with gentleness. Now, I think most of our ladies are very gentle ladies in our church. I don't really know of any ladies here that are rough and tough. But maybe you have that disposition because of the way you were raised outside of Christ. But Peter says in 1 Peter 3:4, he says, let your adorning, this is the English Standard Version, let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. I think the King James says meek, but here the English Standard Version says gentle. A gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. So I personally think there's nothing more distasteful than an overbearing woman who's noisy and boisterous. I don't know, my skin, something happens to me when I have that kind of a person around. It definitely is not a very feminine quality of a woman. That's why I didn't like going to Access Bank much to make my deposits back in Lajpat Nagar. But I won't go there. But I'll close with this. James writes about the gentleness of wisdom. In James 3:13 and 17. This is the New American Standard Version. Who among you is wise and understanding? James asks the question. Let him show by his good behavior his deeds and the gentleness of wisdom. So it's not just wisdom, but it's the gentleness of wisdom. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. I think he's addressing here, we'll get to it in the book of James, addressing those who are teachers in verse 1 of James chapter 3. In closing this morning, Paul writes in 1 Timothy 6:11, but as for you, O man of God, flee these things, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. We're to pursue it. Gentleness is to be our pursuit as disciples. We're to pursue gentleness in our lives and in our character. It is the true Christian demeanor. It is Christian to be in control of our behavior. To be out of control of our behavior is not Christian. It's not sober behavior. And in order to have gentleness, we need self-control. We need to be soft and mild at times, not harsh, not rough in dealing with people. Now, this many times things won't get done, as my wife always tells me, unless I raise my voice, and seem a little upset, things won't get done, right? And that's, you've told me many times, that's the language they understand. As a Christian, I have to say it's something that we should feel uncomfortable with. We should feel uncomfortable with that kind of a talk. We should not feel comfortable with dealing with people in a rude manner and in rude speech. Gentleness is lacking today in the world. And I believe it's also lacking many times in churches. It is for sure godly, a trait of godliness. And as the people of God, God expects us to become gentle. Gentle as He is. So let us pray this morning, and considering this character trait of gentleness, and really think about it. Don't put this message off. Think about the importance of gentleness. Father, we thank You, God, for this opportunity to share these thoughts on the word gentleness and how it was in the lives of David, and how Your gentleness toward David made him great. The great King David was made great by Your gentleness, Lord. And Lord, we want to be great. We want to be great in Your eyes. We want to be great in the kingdom when it comes. We need gentleness in our lives and gentleness with our families, gentleness in the church. And Lord, help us, you know, to become more and more gentle in our demeanor with each other. Lord, bless our church here in Goa. We thank You for this Sunday morning coming together. And continue to bless our church, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.